All right, I guess I'll use this for now. Hey, it's good to be with you guys. My name is Richie Lewis from Harrisburg. I run the Capital Area Dream Center, and I'm going to share just a little bit about the Capital Area Dream Center, and then I got a couple special guests from the Dream Center that I would like to invite just to share for a couple minutes. I always love coming here. It feels like family, just to be honest with you guys. I know so many people here. Just want to recognize a couple people. Where is Karen Valick? I don't spot her. She's someplace. Okay, well, you guys know Karen, right? So Karen, she runs the clothing bank at the Dream Center. And let me tell you, that is a task and a half. So that takes a lot of work, a lot of effort. And I just want to recognize her and thank her for all of her service. I think she's been with us for 6 years, I feel like, maybe even six and a half. It's been a little while. We started in 2018, January 2018, and I think it was 6 months to a year later is when we opened up the clothing bank. I think it was less than a year. So I feel like she's been with us like six and a half years. She could tell you better, but appreciate Karen. And then Kurt, who's a board member and a good friend. So thank you, Kurt, for your service. And of course, I know Steve and his wife and Van and Steph. We went to Bible school together. And, you know, it's hard to believe. I was telling Van, we've known each other for 24 years. Makes me feel old. But so anyway, and I recognize Michael as well. You know, he's come out to many outreaches in the past. But anyway, it's good to be here with you guys today. I just want to share a little bit about the Dream Center, and then I'll have Lori and Anthony come up and just share for a couple minutes, and then I'll probably share for a few minutes about a book that I wrote several years ago that's available today if you'd like to purchase a copy, and then I'm going to dive into the message. So we started the Capital Area Dream Center back in January of 2018, so it's been 7 years. Since we started the Dream Center, we're located in Uptown Harrisburg, 2400 North 6th Street. And it's interesting, like, I kind of initially wanted to be in South Allison Hill because, you know, that has a reputation for the roughest neighborhood, you know, the most crime-ridden and, you know, whatever else. But the Lord directed us uptown, which was interesting. And one thing I learned, I know God directed us uptown because South Allison Hill has the reputation of being the worst, so everybody wants to go there, right? Which is good, and it needs a lot of good Christian ministry, and so there's a ton of good Christian ministry already up there. But where we're located in Uptown, statistically, we're right behind South Allison Hill in all those categories, you know, crime and murder and poverty and all those things. But because it's not number one, it's kind of a neglected area as far as Christian ministry is concerned. So I really wanted to be in South Allison Hill, but the Lord directed us otherwise. He directed us in Uptown. And after being there for a short period of time, I quickly realized why. It was a neglected area, but it was an area that was in desperate need at the same time. And so I remember when we first moved up there 7 years ago, we had to plow the ground, you know, because there wasn't a whole lot of, there's a few churches around, but there wasn't a whole lot of other ministry around. And so we had to plow the ground. We had to do the hard work of plowing and planting seeds before we started to reap a harvest. And I remember the first 6 months or so, I don't think we led one person to the Lord. I think we were out there doing street ministry and people were kind of standoffish against us. And, you know, we're kind of like, who are you guys? You know, and it took a little while to build a relationship. But now, after doing this for 7 years, we're seeing people healed, saved, delivered every single week in Uptown Harrisburg. So just a few things that we do on a weekly basis. Every Saturday, we have a big outreach, and I'd love to invite you. I know it's, you know, half hour, 45 minutes away for most of you guys, but if you're ever able to, we'd love to have you. We have a big outreach every Saturday from 10 to 12:30. And again, several of you, Michael, and, you know, many of you guys in here have actually been to our outreaches. And we do three different things. On Saturdays, we have a free meal, and so we need help serving food. But also we have people that kind of mingle with the people that are there eating and just kind of, you know, offer to pray with the people and share the gospel with the people and hang out and build a relationship. And then we have our clothing bank, which I mentioned, which Karen runs. And that's on the second floor of our building. That actually we have a 3-floor building that takes up the second and third floor, takes up a lot of space. The second floor is the clothing bank. The third floor is the storage for, you know, all the excess clothing. And so we have a clothing bank and we have a line out our door. How about it, Anthony and Lori? Every time we're open, we have a line out the door, going up the steps, down the steps, out the door for our clothing bank. We're super busy. I remember when we first started, I 7 years ago, I was thinking about doing like a food pantry or like some sort of like grocery bag giveaway. And I remember having a meeting with the Central PA Food Bank, and they came and they actually said to me something kind of funny and interesting. They said, "Well, we can't partner with you." And I said, "Well, why?" And they said, "There's too many food banks that we partner with in this zip code." So they wouldn't partner with us because there was already, and they wanted to spread out more, you know? And so food in the uptown area is obviously a need, but I think a lot of the churches have that well covered. And so I remember thinking to myself, well, what can we do that is a real need in this neighborhood? And I discovered clothing. Clothing was a huge need. And so again, you know, we have a line out the door and people can come and grab 4 items and they can come every Saturday if they want. We have shoes, we have shirts and pants and all sorts of items. I'll just share one testimony with you that happened a couple years ago. We're located right outside of a bus stop. And so periodically, a bus will come and just dump a bunch of people off right in front of our building. And so, which is really cool. So I remember one time I'm outside doing something and the bus comes and stops, dumps a bunch of people off, and this guy comes walking off the bus and he kind of looks up at our building and he goes, "What is this place?" And I had a chance to just kind of share with him what we do, and I shared with him about the clothing bank, and the clothing bank really piqued his curiosity, and he said, "Well, hey, listen," he said, "I just got out of prison 3 days ago." And he said, "All I have is the clothes on my back." And he said, I was fortunate enough to get a job, but in order to start, I start tomorrow, and I need size 12 steel-toed boots. And he said, "Do you guys have size 12 steel-toed boots?" And I was like, "Well, that's a very specific request." I said, "We're not like a big department store, like a Kohl's or something. We rely on donations, but, you know, come on up, and we'll see what we have." And guess what? We had one pair of size 12 steel-toed boots, and you would have thought you gave the man the world, and he was able to start his job the next day. So we see miracles. We don't just see healings and salvations. We see miracles in our clothing bank just like that. I could tell you story after story. But then also on Saturdays, we send teams out to do street ministry and share the gospel and pray for people and hand out flyers and invite them back to the Dream Center. And again, we see people healed and saved almost every single week. And then Tuesdays, we have like a worship service and luncheon where we have worship at 11:30, and then we have a time of testimonies, and then we have like a little message, about 30-minute message, and then we eat together, and we have fellowship together over a meal, and then Thursday mornings we have Bible study, and we have prayer meeting after that, and then we do monthly worship nights, and we do a lot. Just a few of our annual events, we have block parties every June. You know, we'll have 300-400 people that will come from the neighborhood, and, you know, we'll have free food and clothing and hygiene supplies and games and prizes and all sorts of stuff. And we'll even give out hundreds and hundreds of dollars of free gift cards to Giant or Save a Lot, which is a grocery store in the neighborhood, and Walmart, different places like that. And we'll usually stop in the middle and share the gospel for 5 minutes, and we'll see 20, 30, 40, 50 people saved. I think the most we saw 1 year was 50 people saved, give their lives to the Lord. We do annual, every August, we do a backpack and school supply giveaway. I think this past year, we gave out school supplies and backpacks to 750 children in Harrisburg. And of course, that's thanks to a lot of people that donate. It's not just us. We have churches and other people, individuals, businesses that donate. And then every December, we have a big Christmas toy giveaway. And again, same thing, a lot of churches and individuals involved with that. But we gave out 1,650 brand new toys to, I think, 330 children. So I think each child got 5 brand new toys. And even had a mom come up to me a couple weeks after saying, I didn't know how I was going to supply any Christmas gifts to my children this year. And so she was so thankful. So anyway, I could go on and on and on. I'm not going to for the sake of time, but we do a lot at the Dream Center. Feel free to check us out. You know, Google us. You know, we got a website. Free to talk after service as well. In the back, in the atrium, when you come through the doors, there's a sign-up sheet if you ever want to get a newsletter. I send out monthly newsletters. You can just give me your email address, and they're packed full of testimonies. And actually, the best way to follow us is on Facebook, because I can't even fit all the testimonies in our monthly newsletter. So just follow us on Facebook. But so I'm going to invite, I don't know who wants to go first. Lori, do you want to go first? Come on up. I'm going to have Lori just share a little bit about how the Dream Center has impacted her. So Lori, come on up. Lori's been coming to the Dream Center for, I don't know, a couple of years now, something like that. And you come a lot on Tuesdays and for the worship service. And go ahead and share for a couple minutes.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am so excited. I bring you greetings all the way from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, my hometown. Amen. And I am so grateful for the Dream Center, because sometimes we go through ups and downs, heartaches and pains, and it's always good to know that the Dream Center is right in the uptown area where I've been raised in. And so walking into the Dream Center several years ago, I was just so blessed by the food. I'm an eater. I like to eat. By the food, the fellowship, and most of all, by the fun. This young man right here is a good teacher, a good reacher, and I just thank God for getting me to that Dream Center. I remember when they first came and how that they impacted the city of Harrisburg with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what we need. Since I've been going to the Dream Center, I have an older son who I believe was 47 at the time. He's in and out of prison. And so I told him, he said, Mom, where are you going to be? I said, come on up at the Dream Center. You know, I want to get my kids, my son in that Dream Center so Richie can meet him and pray for him. And so he was able to meet my son while he was out of prison for a short time, back in again. And hopefully the Lord's going to let him out again. And I believe God. And so he got to meet him. And then he had two children he blessed me with, grandchildren. So I'm a grandmom now. And so my grandchildren know about the Dream Center. The most wonderful thing that I love about the Dream Center is that they're not there just for themselves. They're there for the city of Harrisburg, for the community of Harrisburg. And Karen, God bless her, she works in where they're doing the giveaway. And there's sometimes I have to go up and get me something. I need some soap. I don't have the money to get what I need. And go up and get some soap and some things and whatever else thing I find. But I'm going to leave you with this. Last year I had a tragedy, trauma in my family. My niece, Becky Beamer, was the one found in the Susquehanna River on March the 1st. I'm sure you heard about it. It was on the news and everything. Well, that's my sister's who's passed away when she passed away, 36 years old. We still don't know to this day. Everything is still pending. But coming to the Dream Center, and at that time, I was homeless. I didn't have a place to live, so I was in West Virginia traveling back and forth, and they were just there for me, to pray for me, to help me through. And so that same river, my sister, my mother, and little Becky was baptized in. And to see that same river took the life of the young lady who had a daughter who's left behind. Kendall, I got to see her yesterday. But I thank God for the Dream Center. Because though we're happy, you might got it all together, but then everything might be falling apart. And Richie and Sandy and the staff, they're always there to help us with open arms and to feed us and give us food. And then they have canned goods and everything around. And so I really thank God for this young man. I thank God for bringing him there. And since then, I've been able to volunteer Yes, volunteer when they're doing the giveaways, Christmas giveaways. I've been able to volunteer and serving the people. Yes, I've been in ministry now for 38 years, and it's a blessing when we can go and help one another. So God bless the Dream Center, and God bless Pastor Rich, we call him.
Bless you. Thank you, Lori. Anthony, you want to come up and share for a minute? Anthony, we call Anthony our resident poet, and you'll see why in a minute. This guy is a blessing. He's been coming for a number of years, too. How many years, Anthony, has it been?
I would say 4 or 5.
4 or 5 years, and you come Saturdays, Thursday, like kind of whenever you can,
yeah,
right?
Whenever I can, yeah. Tuesday, Thursday.
So, anyway, we love Anthony, and we'll let him share for a couple minutes, too, here.
Good morning, everyone. I thank all of you for taking Lori and me in and welcoming us and making us feel at home. Amen. I appreciate that, and we appreciate that, and we appreciate Richie inviting us to be a part of this fellowship and this worship service. And yes, I've been with Dream Center for a few years, about, I would say, 4 or 5. It is an honor and a privilege to be there, to help out, to volunteer, to participate in Bible study and worship and share my poetry. I have a poem ministry, and I have a poem to share with everyone here. And it is entitled Love Assembly. Here we are, gathered together in God's love, in His light. Fellowship of hearts, joined together as one in His sight. We worship the Lord, celebrating His grace, seeking His face. Love assembly are we, lifting our hearts. Lifting our hands to God in Christ's name. And we can never be the same. Love assembly gathered in God's house. Loving Him. Loving one another.
Thank you, Anthony.
Yes.
Sorry for the interruption, but you know, when the Lord does something, He wants to do something. So I just want to say to Anthony, so while you were saying that poem, be prepared to not just give that poem in a quiet place like this, but be ready to give your poem in worship. The Lord wants to give you words during worship to, I would say, illuminate what He wants to do in a worship service. So be open to whenever you're, I know that you go to the worship service with Pastor Tennessee and things like that, but be open and ready to receive the words and to be able to give those words that the Lord gives to you while you're worshiping, because the Lord gives them to you to bless the people around you.
Yes.
And to really proclaim His name. Amen?
Amen.
So
Amen.
Be ready for that. Okay, brother?
Amen. Amen. So, got a message for you this morning on the authority that every believer has to heal the sick.
Amen.
Did you know that you have authority to heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead?
Yes.
So, let me back up just for a minute. This message is actually out of a chapter of a book that I wrote several years ago called Moving Mountains, How to See the Sick Healed and the Captive Set Free. So just really quickly, if you're interested after service, we have copies of the book available to purchase for $10 each in the atrium. But I want to share with you guys just a testimony, just a healing testimony before I even start the message really quick, just to kind of whet your appetite and kind of build your faith a little bit.
Come on.
And I got so many testimonies I'd love to share, but for the sake of time, I'll just share one.
Maybe two. We'll see. It's tough. So I'll just share this one. So there's a lady named Donna. You guys know Donna that comes to the Dream Center. You know Donna. Lady named Donna comes to the Dream Center on a regular basis, comes pretty much every Saturday. And back, I think it was in the summer or fall of last year, I didn't see her for like 2 months. And I was kind of starting to wonder, where's Donna at? You know, she comes every Saturday. And I was getting ready to maybe give her a call or try to reach out to her somehow. And lo and behold, I come to the Dream Center, to the clothing bank, actually. I don't know if you remember this, but come upstairs. You might have been busy. We're pretty busy up there. But I see Donna up there. And so I start walking towards Donna to greet her. And I see she has this gray mass in the corner of her eye. Do you remember this? Uh-huh. Yeah. So she had this gray mass in the corner of her eye. And it was noticeable. It wasn't huge, but it was noticeable. And she told me the reason why she hadn't been to the Dream Center in a couple months is because she had just recently been diagnosed with cancer. And that's what that was. It was a cancerous tumor that was growing on the side of her nose, kind of corner of her eye area. And she also said that she had been diagnosed with blood cancer. I don't know if they were both connected or what. I'm assuming they were. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But there was a cancerous mass, and the cancer was also in her blood. And she said she was scheduled, I think, the next week or something, for maybe it was 2 weeks out, for surgery to get that thing removed. And I remember having Curtis, who's another volunteer who was supposed to be here today, but he couldn't make it. And I said, Curtis, why don't you come over here? Let's lay hands on Donna and pray for her. And so we ministered healing to Donna, and nothing happened immediately. And then I didn't see Donna for about 2 weeks. And then I come upstairs to the clothing bank, same situation about 2 weeks later, and I see Donna there. Same thing, I go up to greet her, and I notice the mass isn't there anymore. It's gone. And so I knew she was scheduled for surgery, so my first instinct was, oh, she must have had surgery to get it removed. Now, in hindsight, looking back on it, that was kind of, you know, silly, because there was no incision, there was no stitches, there was no bandage, there was nothing. It was perfectly healthy skin. And so I walked up to Donna and I said, Donna, you know, what happened? I see that mass is gone. And she said, the wildest thing happened. She said, you and Curtis ministered to me. She said, nothing happened immediately, but that same afternoon I went home and I was doing laundry. It was just a couple, 2 or 3 hours or maybe 4 hours later. And she said, all of a sudden that thing fell off my face. Just fell off my face. And so she had a follow-up doctor's appointment, and they tested her blood, and they checked her out, and they said, you're completely clean of cancer. And this was, you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, and we still see her. I saw her yesterday. I think she was there yesterday, right? Yeah. She's still doing great, perfectly healthy skin. But anyway, I got so many testimonies I could share. I'll just share one more really quick one. I was just speaking at a church in Lebanon, out in Frederick, which is Lebanon County, last month. And after service, I had people come up for prayer for healing, which we're going to do today as well. And this one gentleman came up to me and he said, pray for my granddaughter. She was just admitted to the hospital today. She was up all night just throwing up with extreme pain in her stomach. And they're running all sorts of tests and they think there's something wrong with her appendix. I think it was appendix, I'm pretty sure. And so she was admitted to the hospital, and I declared healing over her appendix. And I said something to him, which I don't just say stuff like this. I don't, you know, this isn't, unless God really directs me to. I said, your granddaughter is going to be released from the hospital within 4 hours, and they're going to find nothing wrong with her. Yes. Well, this was at around noon, 12:30, something like that. I think it was 12:30 when I was praying for him. Well, four hours later on the dot, 4:30, I'm back at home doing some stuff around the house, and I get a phone call. He says, it happened just like you said. Yes. She was just released from the hospital. They can't find anything wrong with her, and she's doing well, completely healed. So, amen. So just a couple testimonies to whet your appetite, but I want to dive into the message because we got some stuff I want to cover today, and I want to try to be able to cover it all. So I want to talk to you guys today about the authority. See, I'm sitting here telling you these testimonies, but it's not this gifting and ability isn't just for, you know, special people that have a special gifting, calling, or anointing. This is for everybody. This is for everybody that's a believer. Raise your hand if you are a believer in Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
I think that's every hand. I think that's every hand. So that means this message is for you today. This message is for you. And I want to start off by just sharing with you, we've got a lot of scripture to cover, but, you know, back when I was a younger Christian, you know, many years ago in the early 2000s, got saved in 1999, you know, I used to think, I knew that God could heal people. And I even knew he wanted to use me to heal people, but I thought that it was an ability that I had to somehow earn or obtain. I thought it was, you know, I thought I had to pray enough. I had to fast enough. I had to be holy enough. I had to jump through all these hoops in order to maybe get God to give me this ability. And so I strived as a young Christian. I believed God could heal the sick. I believed he wanted to use me to heal the sick. But I was striving in my own flesh, based on my own works, in order to obtain this ability somehow. And it wasn't until about 2010, God gave me two key revelations on healing, and one's another topic for another day. That's a whole nother sermon. But I'll share one with you today. And one of the key revelations for me was this, was I already have the ability.
Yes, amen.
I don't have to work for it. I don't have to strive for it. I don't have to be holy enough. I don't have to be, you want to be a good person, right? You want to try to live a holy life, right? God has called us to be holy. He's called us to pray. He's called us to fast, right? But it's not to earn the ability to lay hands on the sick, right? And so, but I used to think that I had to strive, but it wasn't until I got the revelation that I already have the ability. The moment I became born again, I received the ability to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. And it wasn't until I got that revelation that I started actually seeing people healed, because before that, from August of 1999 till September of 2010, 11 years when I was first saved, I'd pray for the sick all the time. But I never see anybody healed. I probably prayed for hundreds of sick people, but I never saw one person healed, because I thought I had to jump through all these hoops and I had to perform and I had to do this and I had to do that. But once I got that revelation that I already have this ability, and it has nothing to do with me. It's by grace through faith, just like salvation, right? You can't earn your salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? You can't earn your salvation. And just like you can't earn your salvation, you can't earn the ability to heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. It's a free gift that's given to every single believer. And I want to show you that through scripture today. So turn with me to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 1 through 2. Luke 9, 1 through 2. And I'm going to try to move quick here, because I always find myself in the situation where I have more to cover than I have time. And so that's just the way it is, I guess. But so we're going to try to move quick. Luke 9, 1 through 2 says, "Then he, speaking of Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing." Oh, I'm sorry. That's verse 3. We don't need to read verse 3. So Luke 9, 1 through 2, we see that Jesus gave the disciples the ability, the authority to cast out demons and heal the sick, right? I think that's something we all know, we all understand, that the disciples who became the apostles had the ability to do this stuff. And, you know, there are certain people that think this ability was just for them. It was just for the 12. But I want to show you that it wasn't just for the 12. It was for a much larger group. And let's turn just one chapter over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 17 through 19. "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And behold, I gave you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. And so here we see Jesus, you know, in the previous chapter, give this ability to the 12, and now we see he gives this ability to a much larger group, the 70. And so at this point, you have approximately 83 people, right? You have Jesus, you have the 12, and then you have the 70. So you got 83 people at this point walking around Jerusalem and the surrounding areas of Israel, casting out demons and healing the sick. Well, the group gets even larger, okay? So turn with me to Mark chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 38 through 40. Mark 9, 38 through 40. And with each scripture, you're going to see that this group gets larger and larger and larger, okay? Until it eventually encompasses all of you, all of us, every believer. Mark 9, 38 through 40. Now John answered Jesus, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone we don't know following us." I'm sorry. John answered him, said, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." But Jesus says, "Don't forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side." And so this passage to me is a little comical, because now you've got some random dude that nobody knows wandering around, casting out demons, performing miracles, and healing the sick. Jesus didn't recognize this man. The disciples didn't recognize this man. Nobody recognized this man. And so John says to Jesus, "Jesus, should we forbid this guy from doing these miracles?" And what did Jesus say? He said, "No. If he's not against us, he's on our side," right? And so now you've got Jesus, you got the 12, you got a group of 70, and you got at least one random dude out there, and quite possibly several random dudes out there casting out demons and healing the sick. They're from the Dream Center. Amen. Bunch of random dudes out on the streets of Harrisburg. Exactly. Amen. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 15 through 18. Mark 16, 15 through 18. And we see a much larger group represented here. Much larger. 16, 15 through 18. "And Jesus said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" This is the key verse. Listen up. "And these signs will follow those who believe." Raise your hand if you're a believer. Okay, now listen to the next couple verses, because this is for you. "In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will be healed."
Yes, amen.
Amen? So, again, the key verse is verse 17. It says, "And these signs will follow those who believe," right? Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, "And these signs will follow the pastors." It doesn't say, "And these signs will follow the evangelists." It doesn't say, "And these signs will follow the apostles." And it doesn't say, "These signs will follow those in full-time ministry." And it doesn't say, "And these signs will follow only those who have a special gifting, calling, or anointing." You know, oftentimes we think of the Benny Hinn's or the Reinhard Bonnke's, or, you know, you can think of some others as well. We think of those people, you know, that have these huge worldwide ministries, might be on TV, and they're seeing all these crazy miracles. And we think, well, that's just for them. That's not what the Word of God says. They have wonderful ministries, bless them, but this is for all of us. It's not just for the random select few, you know, Christian superstars, if you will. So the only requirement mentioned in this passage to do these things is that you believe. That's it. That's all the requirement. Turn with me to John 14. And we're going to read a very simple but challenging verse. John 14, and we're going to read verse 12. John 14, 12. This is Jesus speaking. It's important to recognize who's speaking here, because you'll see in a minute, this passage is mind-blowing. Most assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do, and even greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father.
Yes.
So here Jesus is saying, those who believe in me will do the same things I do. Think about that for a second. You know, again, when I was a young Christian, I used to read this verse, and I would think to myself, this cannot mean what it says. I would literally ask God for a revelation on, okay, what's the deeper hidden meaning behind this? Because it certainly can't mean what it says. You're saying I can do the same things Jesus does? That doesn't compute with my natural brain. And so I would try to think of things like, okay, let's do a word study that's got to mean something else. And every time I'd come across that passage, I would try to figure out what this really means. And I remember one day the Lord spoke to me. I was reading this passage and I was asking him, okay, Lord, what's the real meaning of this passage? And he spoke to me very clear. And he said, I said what I meant and I meant what I said. Amen. Pretty simple, right? I said what I meant and I meant what I said. And you know what? That day I still didn't really get it. Like, I still couldn't comprehend how I could do the same things Jesus did. But you know what I did that day? I made a decision to believe that if this is what God says, I don't understand it, but I'm going to make a choice to believe it.
Yes.
And just a little side note for you. You know that's all faith is? You know, sometimes we make faith really complex. We strive, we try to build up and work up some crazy amount of faith to, you know, to accomplish some task like laying hands on the sick or seeing them healed. And so we strive and we try to build up this insane amount of faith. But you know what faith is? All faith is making a decision to believe that what God said is true. So for example, the scripture, by his stripes we are healed, you just make a decision. You know what? I might not get it. I might not understand it. I might have a doctor's report. I might have some symptoms that kind of contradict that. But you know what? If God said it, I'm going to make a choice to believe it, even if I don't fully understand it. And that's all faith is. Faith isn't anything complex. It's nothing too hard. It's nothing too difficult. It's not something you got to strive for or work for or try to build up. It's just simply making a choice to believe God's word is true,
yes,
you know, concerning whatever situation you're facing. So I made a decision that day to just, you know what, I don't get it, but I'm going to believe it. If you said I can do the same things, then I'm just going to take it by faith and believe it. And some people have asked me, what are the greater things? And I have some thoughts on that, but I'm not going to go there today. What I will say is this, until you start doing the same things, don't even worry about the greater things.
Amen.
All right? Start doing the same things first. And then once you start doing the same things, then you can maybe start thinking, okay, what are those greater things he's talking about? So what are some of the things Jesus did? So he's saying we can do the same things he did and even greater things. What are some of the things Jesus did? Well, the Gospels are dominated by Jesus preaching the gospel, casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, performing miracles, you know, loving your enemies, right? That's another one we don't think about. We think about the power, but sometimes, you know, what about loving your enemies? You know, forgiving those who, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, you know? But for the sake of this message, we're going to focus on preaching the gospel, casting out demons, healing the sick. Again, I want to emphasize that this is an ability not just for the original 12, not just for the 70, not just for the random select few, but the ability to cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead is something every single believer can do. Turn with me to Mark chapter 13, and we're going to read 32 through 37. Mark 13, 32 through 37. This is an interesting passage. This is a parable. Jesus oftentimes spoke in parables. And I think he did that for many reasons. But, you know, one reason is you know, parables illustrate a point, you know. So I think this was partially at least a story to kind of illustrate what he was trying to communicate. Mark 13, 32 through 37. So this is a parable. This is a story Jesus is telling. He says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It's like a man going to a far-off country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work. And he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midday, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So Jesus is telling a story, a parable, about a master who owns a house, and he has several servants, and this master is about to go on a far-off journey. And in the meantime, between the time of his departure and return, he leaves his servants his authority, okay? So any guesses of who the master of the house represents? Jesus, Pastor Van, A+. So Jesus is the master of the house. And then who are the servants? Us. Amen. Us, right? And the house, I believe, represents creation or the world. Okay? Now it says when the master leaves, he gives his servants authority. Now, what I believe this passage is saying, what I believe Jesus is saying through this parable is this. He's saying, listen, I'm about to go on a far-off journey. I'm about to die. I'm about to ascend to heaven, but I'm going to come back one day, right? And in the meantime, I'm giving you guys authority. I'm giving my servants my authority. And so, in other words, Jesus was talking about the times between his ascension, which happened 2,000 years ago, and the time between his ascension and his return, which hasn't happened yet. So guess what? He's literally talking about the times in which we're living in right now. Right now. And he's saying, while I'm gone, I'm giving you, my servants, authority. Now, the Greek word used here for authority, because the New Testament was written in Greek and Aramaic, the Greek word used for authority is the word exousia, which means several things. Exousia means power, as in Jesus left us his power. It means ability, as in Jesus left us his ability. And it means authority, as in Jesus left us his authority. So go back, you don't have to turn there, but just kind of think back to John 14:12 for a second, right? How can we expect to do the same works Jesus did? Simple. He gave us his power. He gave us his ability. And he gave us his authority. That's how we can do the same things he did. Now, don't miss verse 35 through 37. Verse 35 through 37 is very important as well. It says, when he comes back, he expects to find us using his power, using his ability, using his authority. So in other words, he's not coming back for a bride that's just kind of pew warming at church, right? He's not coming back for a bride that's kind of sitting on their hands or twiddling their thumbs and that's idle doing nothing. No, he's coming back for a bride that is actively using his power, his authority, and his ability to cast out demons, heal the sick, preach the gospel, raise the dead, prophesy, do the works, you know, the works that he did, okay? So that's another message for another day, but every single one of you has a calling on your life, and that's part of your calling, is to preach the gospel, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. Psalm 8, I'm gonna just read it. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation because I think it says it better in the New Living Translation. It says, it's just 8 verses. I'll read the whole thing. It says, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You've taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think of us? Human beings that you should care for us? And he's going to answer that question next. This is huge. Listen up. You made them just a little lower than God. He's talking about you and me. And crowned them with glory and honor. Did you know you were made just a little lower than God? And you are crowned with glory and honor? You might look at yourself and you might, you know, might think otherwise, but God says you are crowned with glory and honor. I don't care what anybody else says about you. I don't care what anybody else thinks about you. I don't care what you think about yourself. I don't care what maybe you've said over yourself. What does God say about you? He says you were made a little lower than him and you are crowned with glory and honor. That's who you are. Think about that. Let that sink in.
verse 6 says, and you gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority. All things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims in the ocean current. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. So again, verse 5 says that we were made just a little lower than God. And let me pause there for a second. Some translations say we were made a little lower than angels. That's not an accurate translation, and I'll tell you why. The reason why I like the New Living Translation better than some other translations is because I think it translates the Hebrew a little bit more accurately. So the Hebrew word, which is what the Old Testament was written in, the Hebrew word used here was Elohim, which refers to God. And so we were not created a little bit lower than angels. We were created a little bit lower than God. If you go back to Genesis, it says we were created in God's image. Right? We were not created a little lower than angels. So if your version says that, the word in Hebrew is Elohim, which means God. You were created a little lower than God. And then verse 6 says, and God put us in charge over everything he created. Hebrews 2, verse 8, quoting Psalm 8, says this. It says, you gave man authority over all things. Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. Think about that for a second. Nothing is left out. In other words, if God created it, you have authority over it. If God created it, you have authority over it. And God is the creator of everything, right? So one of my favorite teachers, I'll say he's one of my top three favorite teachers. His name is Curry Blake. He's my favorite teacher on the topic of healing. If you've never had a chance to look him up. You'll be blessed. He's an amazing man of God. And he said this one time about the ranking of authority in the universe. Number one is God, which I think we can all agree on, right? Number one is God. Number two is redeemed man, you and me, us sitting here in this room. You are second behind God in ranking of power and authority in the universe. Think about that. Number three would be the angels. Number four would be the devil and the demons. And number five would be unredeemed man. And sometimes I get asked the question, well, why are the angels and demons lower in rank and power and authority than the angels? And I'll tell you why. Colossians 2:15 says, at the cross, the devil and the demons were disarmed and defeated. They were disarmed and defeated. The angels weren't, but the demons were. Okay, and then number two, the Bible talks about how at the fall, or when Lucifer, you know, deceived some of the angels and took some with him, only a third of the angels fell. And so not only have the devil and the demons been disarmed and defeated, but they're also outranked by the angels 2-1. So for every demon there's two angels. Think about that for a second. For every demon, there's two angels. And the angels haven't been disarmed or defeated. You know, sometimes I think we give the enemy a lot more credit than he deserves. I really do. You know, he's not as nearly as bad. I mean, he can lie to you and deceive you, but that's the only thing he can do. He has no power or ability to force you to do anything. Okay? He has no power and ability to force you to do anything. The only thing he can do is lie to you and try to make you believe his lies. And I'm just going to divert just for a second. What's the antidote to a lie? Here's how you overcome. I'll say it this way. We all hear three voices every day, believe it or not. We hear the voice of God, we hear the voice of the enemy, and we hear our own voice. Now, how do you learn to discern between the three? You get in the Word of God. You get in the Word of God right here. And what's the antidote for deception? The antidote for deception is the truth, which is the Word of God, right? So it's vital as believers that we get in the Word of God on a regular basis, daily. I try to read the Bible 30 minutes every day, 7 days a week. That's my goal. And I probably hit 28 days a month. I might miss 2 days a month. It's vital that we get in the Word of God, even if it's for 10 or 15 minutes every single day. Because if you're not, you will be open to the only attack the enemy has against you, which is lies and deception. So, little side note there. Okay, I think we're doing okay here. So I'm about to close, so that's good. Kind of keeping my eye on the clock and figuring out where I am and my notes. And so we just got two more quick passages, and then we're going to close, okay? So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to drive this point home here with Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Whoops, I'm in Philippians here. Give me one second. Okay. Ephesians 1, and we're going to read verses 19 through 21. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him, speaking of Jesus, at his right hand, speaking of the Father, in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So in this passage, according to this passage, where is Jesus right now? Seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. The right hand symbolizes the position of power and authority. Now we're going to close with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. And I think this is going to really drive things home for you guys. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are we seated right now? Okay. We are seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father in position of power and authority, far above all principalities, think about that, far above all principalities, all powers, all demons, the devil himself, and everything that has a name. Does the devil have a name? We're seated far above him. Do the demons have names? We're seated far above him. Does diabetes have a name? We're seated far above diabetes. Does cancer have a name? We are seated far above cancer. And again, everything that has a name. And so we're going to close there. And here's what I want to do. Did you guys get something out of this today? Amen. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to have Van come up and kind of close us out. And then if anybody wants to come up for prayer for anything, it can be for healing. It can be for anything, to be honest with you. I'm open to praying for whatever. But I'm going to close this out in prayer. I'll have Van come up, and then if anybody wants to come up for prayer, I'll be happy to pray with you. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for this congregation. Thank you just for each individual person that is here. They are crowned with glory and honor. I pray that, I feel like somebody here really needed to hear that. You are crowned with glory and honor. You're created just a little lower than God. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us a revelation, Lord, just like the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and that you would really give us a deeper revelation and understanding of who we are in Christ and the power and authority that we have been given, Lord. Lord, make this message real. Make it personal. Make it something that they don't just hear and then forget about in a few days, but something that maybe they can build on. Maybe they can go home and study it out some more for themselves and really make it their own and start walking in it, Lord. Lord, I'm not here to just, you know, preach a message. I want people to be equipped. I want people to grow, to learn, to become more like you, Lord. And so, Lord, may this not be a message that goes in one ear and out the other, but may it be something that goes straight to their heart and is planted like a seed that grows and prospers and bears much fruit, Father God. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time. We bless the ministry time afterwards and the fellowship, and we just thank you in Jesus' name.